Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. And all I can say is, it's a great word. We are in a new book this morning. We're in the book of Joel, in our Old Testament word. And of course, we have our Proverbs, and we have our Revelations. We have started Revelations. We will be in Revelations chapter 2 this morning. And all I can say is, wow. That's it. Just wow. Because God does not play with these words. And the word that he gave me today is, I know your work, your labor, your patience, and you cannot stand, you cannot bear the thought of evil. You know, but what God gave me for this morning, the scripture, is Revelation chapter 2 and 2. But it says, I know your work, labor, patience, and you cannot bear evil people. That's what I got. I can't bear evil people. You know, I cannot bear children being mistreated. I cannot bear people who are helpless or homeless or can't help themselves, being mistreated, because it's not right and it's not a God. And so God knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows what we do. He knows what we say. He knows how we act when nobody's looking. He knows everything. And he knows our intolerance. And I do. I cannot tolerate seeing anyone be mistreated. Even as a child, I couldn't. Seeing somebody being bullied. I take it myself before watching someone be bullied. It bothered my soul even as a child. And to see the things that are going on in our world today, it breaks my heart that it's almost like we glamorize and glorify evil. You know, people will run to see movies that deal with evil prevailing. It's like, I don't understand. Why would you want to see somebody getting cut up, sawed apart, brutalized, and just treated horribly? But you want to see that, the purge. And then people putting it in our vernacular today. You know, we have to be so careful because everybody who says, Lord, Lord, does not mean that they are of God. And we have to look at their character. How do they treat others? Do they put people and things, mostly things, above people? Or do they just love God and want to be the best they can be, loving God and loving his people? We've got to pray. We've got to look up, because we are nothing without him. And so let's go to our little book. I love this little book. It has so much in it that you can only say, wow, it's good. You know, we read a lot of Old Testament. And now we're ready to go into our Old Testament word this morning. On this 12th day of December, it's just like time is flying by. So we are in the book of Joel, and my little book does not give much on Joel, but I have it. Are you ready? But first, let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come together again today, Lord God, lifting up the name of Jesus and studying and reading your word, Lord God. I'm praying that the hearers and the doers of this word will get something of it, will want to walk in it, will want to live the way that you want us to live and do what you want us to do, Father God. But we are all your children. We're all a mess. But Lord God, you are giving us messages every day to do what you need us to do. And Father God, I lift up my home. I lift up my children. I lift up my finances. I lift up everything. I put them on your altar, God, and give it all to you. I lift up this planet, Lord God, and all the people in it, and ask you, Lord God, to guide us and lead us in the right direction and that evil not prevail over good. That you are with us in all things. Protect our children, God, from neglect, from being brutalized, from being murdered and trafficked. Lord God, I pray for children today. As we get closer and closer to a holiday that people are forgetting you in. And you look around and you see Santa Claus hats in the church and things that are not like you, God. I ask you, Father, forgive us. Forgive us, for we know not what we do, God. Forgive us for not walking in your word, God. You said that people die for lack of knowledge, perish by lack of knowledge. But we don't want to perish because we don't have the knowledge. Help us to know what we should do. And guide us through your word, God. As I lift up this word today, Lord, I ask you to increase as I decrease, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and redeemer. And I can't do it without you. So, Lord God, increase as I decrease. Let this word touch heart, mind, and spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. So let's get my little Know Your Bible. Know Your Bible, y'all. And it says this, Joel, son of Petuel, little else is known about him. Unclear, but possibly just before the Babylonian invasion of Judah. In 586 B.C., Timur the Less, locust plague pictures God's judgment on his sinful people. A devastating locust swarm invades the nation of Judah, but Joel indicates this natural disaster is nothing compared to the coming great and very terrible day of the Lord. God plans to judge his people for sin, but they still have time to repent. Obedience will bring both physical and spiritual renewal. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, God says. When the Holy Spirit comes on Christian believers in Pentecost, the Apostle Peter quotes this passage, 6:17. In a quotable, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Multitudes multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And the unique and unusual about Joe, unlike other prophets who condemned adultery, injustice, or other simple sins, specific sins of the Jewish people, Joe simply called for repentance without describing the sin committed. Though God judges sin, he also always offers a way out in our time through Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Son. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us and leading us. And, you know, if you go back to Revelations this morning, just to go back over the overview of Revelations, and it says this, that it was written by John about a 95, and the issue, and that what it says is God will judge evil and reward his saints. God will judge evil and reward his saints. And the details for the Revelation that we should get out of it as we go through it to the rest of the year is this. Jesus Christ himself arranges for John to receive a revelation of things which must shortly come to pass. First, in chapters 2 to 3, Jesus gives John words of challenge and or encouragement for seven churches, the good, the bad, and the in-between. Then the vision turns to the actual throne room of God, where a lamb looking as it had been slain breaks seven seals from a scroll, unleashing war, famine, and other disasters on the earth. A dragon and two beasts allied against God arise to demand the worship of earth's people who have not been killed in the earlier catastrophes. The satanic forces and the people who follow them incur seven vials of wrath of God, 16:1 in Revelation, which bring plague, darkness, huge hailstones on earth, and the upheaval destroys Babylon the Great, the evil and arrogant world system just before an angel from heaven seizes Satan, that old serpent, Joel, Revelation 20:2, and imprisons him for 1,000 years, 1,000 years apiece. After brief release to instigate a worldwide war, Satan is thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Chapter 20:10. God reveals a new heaven and a new earth, 21:1, where he will wipe away all tears, 21:4, from people's eyes. A quotable from Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. This is probably, besides Daniel, the most important book that we read in this word. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Unique and unusual about Revelation. Revelation is an example of an apocalyptic literature, the only such book in the New Testament. Apocalyptic implies revealing secret information. The book of Revelation identifies Jesus Christ as Alpha and Omega. Chapter 1:8, we read that on yesterday. It reveals the number 666 as a sign of the beast. You better understand, you see people putting that up. You better know what they're doing. Whew, Lord, help us, Jesus. And it says, I read the back of the book, as old Southern Gospel song said, and we win. God has given his children a preview of how this world ends and the new and improved world will endure forever. The curse of sin will be gone. We'll live in perfect fellowship with the Lord himself, and we will reign forever and ever. Kind of puts our bad days in perspective, doesn't it? That's our word for this morning as we get ready to go to Joel. Please join me. Get your Bibles out. We're in Joel chapter 1 through chapter 3. We are in our psalm for this morning. It's the 140th Psalm, verses 6 through 13. And our proverb for today is Proverbs 29 and 24. And our revelation scripture for this morning is chapter 2 of Revelation. So let's get started. And the word of God says in Joel chapter 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel the son of Petuel. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust has left, the consuming locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. But it has been cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are like the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. His branches are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. The field is wasted. The land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new wine is dried up. The oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers. Well, you wine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up. The fig tree has withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourself and lament, you priests. Well, you who minister before the altar, come lot all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before your eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed shriveled under the clod. Storehouses are in shambles. Barns are broken down, for the grain has withered. Our animals grown. The herd of cattle are restless because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. O Lord, to you I cry out, for fire has devoured the open pastures, and a flame has burned all the trees. The beasts of the field also carry out to you, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the open pastures. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been. Nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds so they run. With a noise like chariots, like mountaintops, they leap like the noise of a flaming fire. They devise the stubble like a strong people set in battle array. before them the people withered in vain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, to rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priest who ministers to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive them away into a barren and desolate land, with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. His stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And we have heard many people talking about the blood moon and we've had some blood moons, eclipses, the type of eclipse, and there have been several within this span of 10 years. And, you know, you have many who are prophesying, you know, that this is the end. But there is so much more, as we will read in Revelation, that has to come before it is the end, before we are in that season. We are in a season of contemplation and of understanding. But when you read the whole thing when you read it in the way it should be read and you get the whole big picture, it starts to make more sense than what you hear on YouTube or on a television show. When we read it ourselves, we see that there are so many things that are going on, because it says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." We got to learn on the call on the name of Jesus. We got to learn to call on Yeshua. We got to learn to say, "Lord, Lord, have mercy on me." And mean it from your heart. "Lord, have mercy on me." Because we are all walking in sin. We all have something to repent of, whether you ate too much, whether you said something that was not right, whether you hurt somebody, whatever you may do, whatever you may say, whatever is your situation, you got to learn how to tell God, "Lord, forgive me. I need you, God. I need your help. I need you to take me where I need to go. Lord, I am in trouble. And I need you to rescue me, God. Rescue me from myself." You know, we got to ask God to come in and take a seat and take control. And it says, one more time, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. And the Lord has said, among the remnant for whom the Lord calls." And chapter 3 of Joel says, "For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also driven up my land, divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink." Come on now. "What have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coast of Philistia? Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me, swiftly and speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your own head. Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temple my prized possession. Also the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, you have sold to the Greeks, you that you may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will rise them out of the place in which you have sold them, and I will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the land of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, for a people far off. For the Lord has spoken, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, 'I am strong.' Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will set to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drip with new wine, the hill shall flow with milk, O Lord Jesus. Then all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Acacia. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness because of violence against the people of Judah. For they have shed innocent blood in their land. For Judah shall abide forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will acquit them of the guilt of bloodshed, whom I had not acquitted. For the Lord dwells in Zion. And when we go back to Joel and look at the life lessons and example here, and for those that are just joining us, when we talk about life examples, life lessons, that they are coming from Dr. Stanley, and we are in the Charles Stanley Life Principle Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year, the rest of this year and next year. And then I know we will be going to a different Bible, and we never know where God is going to send us. But for this year and next year, God has already shown me we will finish this Bible on December 31st, God willing, and be in the same Bible again next year. And so when we go to a life example from the book of Joel, it says, brokenness, the way to blessing. And Dr. Stanley tells us, no one enjoys being broken emotionally, physically, or spiritually. It's difficult to understand how strength and blessings can result from brokenness, even though they do. Yet we seldom recognize the benefits of brokenness in the midst of our pain. The Apostle Paul faced discouragement and many intense trials, but he knew God was in control, and so he placed his hope and faith in Jesus Christ. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despaired, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body and dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Paul believed that the trials in his life came with a purpose. He considered them tools in the hand of God, who reshaped, refined, refocused his life so that it could be better reflected, the life of Christ full of purpose and blessing. Just like us, Paul fought with emotional and physical difficulties. He laced his letter to the Corinthians with words of pain and difficulty. But even more, he filled it with words of hope and divine intervention designed to inspire and encourage all who face the agony of brokenness. Cling to what you want and think is right for your life can prolong the brokenness process. God's work in your life may not appear to make sense in the beginning, but he knows what lies ahead in your life. He disciplines, guides, and directs not to hem you in, but to place you in a better position to live a free and blessed life. For the Christian, brokenness demands a sharp focus of the heart on Christ. You may feel as though you are coming apart, at the things, but you will transfer your fear and anxiety to Jesus, then something amazing will happen. Not only will you begin the process of transformation into the image of God's Son, but you will sense a greater strength growing within you. Can y'all say praise the Lord this morning? Joel chapter 2, strong is the one who executes his word. Our omnipotent Lord will use all of his power to fulfill every one of his promises. Not one of them can fail. That is why we can build our lives on his every word. Joel chapter 2 and 3, rend your heart and not your garment. God is always after the heart, not mere outward religious expression. He wants heartfelt prayer, not impressive oratory. Matthew 6 and 7. He wants genuine devotion, not smug declarations. Matthew 15 and 8. He wants your heart. Are you giving your heart to the Lord today? God wants to work in us. Joel 2 and 29, and also on my manservant and on my maidservant, I will pour out my spirit in those days. We live in the great day when God is pouring out his spirit on all believers in Christ, filling them and empowering them to serve him in holiness and great joy. Have you asked the Lord to fill you today? I ask God this morning, fill us up, Lord. Fill us up with your grace. Fill us up with your mercy. Fill us up with your goodness and your kindness. Fill us up, Lord. Give us a clean heart and a right spirit within us, God. Guide us, Lord. We got to pray for each other and for ourselves. Guide me, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Help us, God. And as we get to our Psalm 140, verse 6 to 13, I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord of the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked schemes, lest they be exalted. That's a right now word. Too many wicked people getting away doing awful, horrible things. And folks falling after the wicked like they're gods, and they're not. They are wicked people doing wicked things, and some are doing it in the name of the Lord, and God will be the judge. And it goes on to say, as for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals of fire down upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slander be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Whew! Proverbs 29 and 24. Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. Taking the fifth, y'all. That's all that's about. He swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. Taking the fifth. Because I don't want to incriminate myself. And what does it say? The word of God says, thou shall not steal. But what does it say? Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. And he swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. God is knowing. God knows everything. He knows all about us. He knows everything we do in light and in darkness. God knows it all. And he is going to hold us each accountable. Let's continue in this awesome and mighty word. We are in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Which is where our title comes from this morning. I know your work, labor, and patience. You know, God knows everything about us. He knows our work. He knows our labor. He knows our patience. And he knows that we can't stand evil. that we cannot bear evil. I cannot. But I know that my daddy God is the one that will judge each and every one, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God's got it covered. And all I have to do is do what I'm supposed to do, live right and righteous. I still got work to do because I'm not perfect, but I know one thing. I love my daddy God, and I know that I know he is leading and guiding me every day, and I'm thanking him every day for his grace and his mercy and his goodness and his kindness. And the word of the Lord says in Revelation chapter 2, to the angel of the church who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your work. Come on now, our title for this morning. I know your work, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. We got to be careful of the company we keep, because bad company corrupts good people. And it goes on to say, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your work, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. You better understand. God knows his. God knows everything. And God knows who are the counterfeits. And I'm going to read this again. These things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will be and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your work and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who committed adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the mind and heart, and I will give to each one of you according to your work. Come on now, God ain't playing. Now to you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but I hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, of to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed in pieces like the potter's vessel, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Wow. We're going to hear a lot as we go through our words from our Revelation word this morning, Revelation 2:2. I know your works, your labor, your patience. The work Jesus gives every one of us to do can feel taxing and almost unending. I have felt that way. I know I have a busy, busy week this week to get some things together. And it's like, okay, God, where am I going to have time to do what I need to do? You know, but God will find a way, and I know this with all my heart. He will find a way to make everything work for my good. I'm believing God for miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm believing God that every bill will be paid, that everything will work out the way it is supposed to. I'm believing God, and I'm trusting him that it is all going to work out, because I know that my God is able to do all things, and everything he says he will do. And as we dive up into our word this morning, it says this: the work Jesus gives every one of us to do. We talk about it every morning when we say, God, go to work. We work for God in whatever capacity he has called you to work in. That's what we do. We work for the Father. And it says, the work Jesus gives every one of us to do can be a passion and almost ending. I say it again. To complete our assignment takes both perseverance and patience. Only when we labor in his strength can we avoid complete weariness. However, we may sometimes feel as though we toil in anonymity and that our labors go unnoticed and unappreciated. Remember, Jesus notices everything. He sees both our work and our attitude as we work, and he remembers. Do you work with the right attitude, or do you work begrudgingly? Because if you're working begrudgingly, you don't need to work at all, because you're not doing it for the right reason. Revelation 2:10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Obedience always brings blessing, but it may first bring suffering. God allows Satan to persecute some believers to test them and refine them. Satan means it for evil, but God means it for good. Revelation 2:16. repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. No one should ever imagine that the unconditional love of God means that he will never discipline his unrepentant children. Jesus uses strong language here to remind us that expects us to represent him well. We reap what we sow. Wow, there's that word. We reap what we sow. Paul says that if we sow to the flesh, we will from the flesh reap corruption. Galatians 6:8. And that is our life, those are our life lessons and reflections from our scripture today. As we get ready to wrap it up, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And Sister Carolyn, it'll be yesterday and today. And the word for yesterday was this: good morning. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. We got to put our faith and our trust in the Lord. You know, yesterday our pastor preached on being still. We got to be still and wait on God. So many times we want to rush and do everything. And when we do, we mess up. Been there, done that, got the I mess up t-shirt. But I thank God that from my mess, he's given me message. And I thank him for just his grace and his mercy toward me. I know that God's got me covered. I know he does. And I'm believing him for everything to work out. And the word says, good morning, Sister Carolyn. No matter how things look right now, know that God is still in control of our life. Stay in peace and believe that he will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday. And our prayer for today from our 365 days of prayer. And our word for this morning, it says, peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. Luke 2:14, ESV. Prince of peace, your presence brings light to your people. You are worthy of every offering I could ever give and more. Words fall short when I consider your indescribable goodness. God of peace brings calm to the anxieties racing around my head. Bring relief to the tension that has been building in this hectic season. I know that in you I find the rest I long for. Today, Lord, meet me in the details of my schedule. Give me quiet confidence to follow through with your presence as my strength. God, you are good. Don't let me forget the beauty of who you are. Let the distractions quiet down as I set my heart on you. I invite you into every moment of my day. I belong to you. May all the work I do be from a place of rest in you today. What worries and anxieties can you invite the peace of God into? God knows we all have it. We got to ask God for peace. Peace in the midst of our struggles. Peace in the midst of the craziness that's going on in our life. We just need to have peace and rest and hope that everything is going to work out the way it needs to. For God is in charge of all things. But we forget to give the Lord a thank you. Thank God today that he will make a way out of no way. And I'm believing God for making a way out of no way in my life. I'm believing God for changing some things in my life. I'm grateful this morning that God is in charge. So as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, if anyone that has a word from God, open your line, just push the number 1 on your phone. or call 213-943-3597 this morning. And if not, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in Jesus' name. I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. And remember, I know your work, labor, patience, and you cannot bear evil people. God knows everything about us. Keep thanking God for all things are going to work for your good as long as you keep trusting and believing in him. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap.